That was simply outstanding. Quite appropriate too, singing the Lord's Prayer, given that today's lesson is about praying without ceasing. A little bit of scripture before we get started. The reality is my prayers don't change God. This is not scripture. This is somebody saying something. But I am convinced that prayer changes me. The reality is my prayers don't change God. But I am convinced that prayer changes me. Praying boldly boots me out of that stale place of religious habit into authentic connection with God Himself. Someone else said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. While making the announcements this morning, I mentioned, as we do every Sunday morning, that we in Divine Science believe in the power of true prayer. I don't know about you, when I first came to this church many years ago, I had no idea as to what true prayer meant. Likewise, I had no real idea of what prayer without ceasing really meant. After all, how does one pray all day and night when at work or out and about someplace? Shopping. You're shopping. You can't be praying. Well, so much for Wayne's spiritual understanding back then. At any rate, while preparing this lesson for this morning, it came to me that we could not really address prayer without ceasing, without addressing who and what we are in spirit, and what true prayer is, and what it is not. As we have heard many times, there are those that maintain a belief in a God that is separate and apart from them, a God to be prayed to or at in time of human need, when one is in trouble, when one is afraid, when one wants a new car, a new home, a better relationship, a cure for a human ailment, you want more cash, and other material gain. Yes, unfortunately, this is the God of those people who go to Him when they need supply, when asking for material things on the physical plane of existence, and when they send up a quick prayer of thanks for the material gain that they did get, that God gave them, that knew this or that. They say, "Thank you, God. I got this because I was good." These are rewards of being good. But in particular, it is when individuals come to the so-called end of life, the so-called physical human death, that they may frantically send up to God those messages, reminding Him of how good they have been their entire life, how much they've given in tithes, how kind they have been to other people, how often they attend church, all in order to gain an entrance into some so-called wonderful far-off place called heaven, where only the good folks go after they have made their physical transition. Well, my folks, all of this praying is praying amiss. It's for naught. And so it is through ignorance, through the limited mind, that man has no idea what true prayer really is. And although he believes he is praying aright, his prayers ring hollow, as he has no understanding of that which he already is in God, whole and complete. From primitive man, primitive man has instinctively sought a higher power when feeling a need for help. He depends first upon himself, exhausting every idea and available outside resource before finally turning to his concept of God for help. And it is then, still ignorant of who and what he is, he cries out, "Help me, God. I need, I want, help me." This is not prayer. But rather, it is human desperation. And such begging has nothing to do with God and the truth of us. These utterings of supplication, of pleading and beseeching some God to fix this or that human condition, have no spiritual basis, my friends. They are spoken by individuals who are blind to the truth and are lost to this material world. And thus, until they come to see their own truth, they shall always live in a sense of lack. They shall always need, and they shall always want. There's no telling just how many individuals carry around a pocket God, only to be used when needed, sort of like a fire extinguisher to put out a fire. A human problem that they themselves usually start. Yes, when fear, trouble, or need are upon them, they ask God to please get them out of yet another jam, all the while promising God that they shall be good from then on. They shall attend church, and so forth and so on. But as soon as the problem is over, that God of theirs goes right back into their pocket, until he may be needed again. If all of this weren't so common, my friends, so very sad, it would be funny. He disappointeth the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot perform their enterprise. He taketh the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the froward is carried headlong. They meet with darkness in the daytime, and grope in the noonday as in the night. There are also individuals that are angry at their so-called God, and have stopped praying to him altogether, because he has disappointed them. He did not answer their prayers. Take the example of a lonely and needy individual that is always looking for human love, who has been through untold relationships and has experienced emotional heartache and so-called despair. No doubt there are such individuals that blame God for not giving them that perfect mate, or conversely, for putting yet another so-called monster in the lives instead of a loving companion. Well, my friends, there is no such God that answers such prayers, nor a God that brings about lack and despair. These individuals consistently find themselves in bad places solely because of their very own pattern of limited human thinking. They've created these situations by knowing not. They seek from a sense of need and lack, and know not their fullness in God. The same is the case whether the perceived need be for a person, place, or a thing out here in the world. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. But on the other hand, there are those who do know what and who they are. They know of true love. They know true abundance. They know true health. And they go within regularly, thinking aright, and communing with God throughout the day. Since realizing oneness in and with their spiritual source, they know and realize abundance and joy. And they are full of gratitude and express thankfulness at all times. In these individuals, there is no sense of lack or need that distracts them from the conscious realization of their eternal wholeness. They know. They seek not for this or that person, place or thing out here in the world in order to feel whole and complete, because they have a God consciousness of wholeness, of completeness, of health, of joy and abundance. So let me ask you this morning, is prayer your steering wheel or is it your spare tire? Think about that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. By the way, the word petition in this scripture is not about the asking for material, but rather that God's mind be revealed more and more, and that expanded and growing consciousness be realized. So devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. My friends, as your awareness and time within increases, your sense of priorities shall shift from the outer to the inner. And you shall discover that prayer involves more than just saying the supposed right words. It includes doing the right things. Prayer not only acknowledges wisdom, but expresses wisdom in the things that should be done out here in the world. And so it is that it is wasted motion to ask God to do for us that which He has already equipped us to do for ourselves. Rather, we are to remind ourselves that every action that comes forward from within us is the outer evidence of the thoughts that we harbor within. Wise action, loving action, good action, uplifting and gracious action, and demonstrations of the expressions of wise and enlightened thoughts born of God's mind within us. The more we commune in God, the more we realize the light of our Christ. And the more others about us feel that Christ's presence that lives us. Through increasing true prayer, the kingdom of heaven is readily at hand. And so it is. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. By communing regularly within the spiritual realm, prayer takes on a completely different meaning than when we were blind to truth. As we learn more and more of the nature of our I Am, one in and of God, we are continually being illumined by a greater understanding and are cultivating the habit of true thinking. That is, knowing that God has already given us all that He has and all that He is. To pray aright, we gain the habit of centering our thoughts on the inner. We openly claim our oneness with the one God mind and bring our thoughts into alignment with that mind. In this way, through loving and constant communion with God, we received an increased flood of goodness, which constantly flowing out from God to His whole creation. With practice, we notice that genuine and plentiful prayer allows no human thoughts to to enter the picture. It is God time, and only God time. And to this end, we leave all of our human desires outside. We think only on the allness and the goodness of God. And in a deep sense of gratitude, we say, "Thank you, O Father. Thank you for all that I am, made in your image and likeness. I want for nothing. I ask for nothing. I seek nothing of this world. Rather, I seek greater realization in you, dear God. It is in you that I am complete. I am whole, and I am perfect in all ways." And then we sit in the silence and let that still small voice come upon us that says to us, "You are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased." Rest assured that if we are earnest, my friends, if we go within for pure purpose, we shall ultimately come to a place where our prayers mature into a deep assurance of good and only good. Our prayers, our regular and spontaneous communion with God, bolster our spiritual understanding, and we come to live in a greater state of unity in God consciousness. Once accustomed to being still and going within and feeling that peace at hand, it shall no longer be an effort to stay focused on that which lives us and sustains us, that which has given us all that already is. Rather, we shall consciously, regularly hunger for, and seek time alone with God, as did Jesus. Think about it. How many times in the Bible did Jesus want to walk away from his disciples, from that world at hand, and be alone with his Father for no other reason than to be? This is prayer without ceasing. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. By the way, let us know that every thought, thank you, Janet, every thought directed Godward is a prayer. Indeed, once we come to know of our true being and God's omnipresence, we understand that we are directly connected with him through our very own thinking, one in and of him. Since you are thinking most of the time, you are praying most of the time. And it is your responsibility to pray according to truth, to think according to truth. And as the divine science minister and teacher Dr. Irvin Gregg once wrote, prayer is not eloquence, but earnestness. Not figures of speech, but earnestness of soul. In her book, Mysteries, Donna Brooke writes, "Prayer without ceasing means true aspiring, the highest of thinking in and of God, being infinitely patient, keeping the faith, trusting deeply, serving with integrity of spiritual purpose." Prayer is not merely a matter of words. Rather, it is a thought of love, an assertion of total and eternal goodness, an assertion of the nature of our being in our Father. How joyous, how uplifting, how peaceful it is to go within, for our prayers to be in the realm of goodness, of love, of joy, of giving, of truth. Being complete in God, we give thanks for all we are and all that he has provided, particularly the infinite wisdom to know that it is His will in all matters concerning us. The prayer that Jesus gave is a perfect model in simplicity itself. Father, hallowed is thy name. Yes, the Lord's Prayer. Here is recognition of the all-inclusiveness and completeness of the divine mind. Everything has its sustenance from this one source. Therefore, the earth is of God's and the fullness thereof. Some people may not agree, but we are told that we need supplies, but for one day only. And as we have heard, hoarding for future necessities can breed selfishness. As a matter of fact, the children of Israel tried to save the manna from heaven, but it spoiled. Of course, what we are talking about here is not material substance, but rather about being filled up today in spirit and in recognition of it, and the thankfulness for it. We have today, right now, to be grateful in. And we consistently pray in each moment of this day, seeking nothing but greater awareness. True prayer is fundamental in life. Every aspiration, all wonderful desire, and all true attitudes are prayer. All praise to God and all appreciation of His goodness to the children of men is prayer. True service is prayer. The highest prayer is that prayer which is based upon great principle. It is the prayer that is most in accord with the nature of the universe. It is the prayer that aligns itself with truth. Knowing and living the truth of the infinite is the highest prayer of all. Let me repeat that. Knowing and living the truth of the infinite is the highest prayer of all. Rather than begging for health, we realize that God has already answered us by being health, by being love, by being harmony, by being eternal life. And as is He, so are we. Each of us, right now, this very moment. By the way, we never pray to change God or God mind in anything. To do this is impossible. Divine mind is changeless, perfect. It is purring out to us continually an unending stream of all that is true, beautiful, and good. Rather, we pray to attune ourselves to God mind and to lift ourselves to the level of consciousness where we willingly and knowingly cooperate with the abiding presence and power. Mother Teresa once said that prayer is not asking, prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God, at His disposition, and listening to His voice in the depths of our hearts. As Paul said of God, He is in you all, through you all, and above you all. And again, he said, in Him we live and move and have our being. Thus, man is as completely enveloped in God as he is with the very air that he breathes. And all of the elements in the nature of God have been, are now, and always shall be as accessible to man as the very oxygen that air he breathes. Ongoing contemplation that all of the infinite nature of God is already moving to perfect himself in every phase of us, and all of nature is indeed a very appropriate, effective, and intelligent prayer. As a matter of fact, the Master Jesus' original motive towards prayer was in this direction, to find out what the Father was doing. Then Jesus said, "What I see the Father doing, that I do as well." This unifying of the Master's mind with the Father's mind as one was a fundamental motive of the Master's ministry here on the earth plane, and was the hallmark of his life and teaching as the way shower. He taught us how to pray. Jesus never considered what he himself might wish or ask for during prayer, nor what those about him might demand. Rather, he sought one thing and one thing alone, the divine source of life itself. And then he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And this being the way of the Master, it is the way for us as well. Arriving at conclusion that our motive of endless and sincere prayer shall be only to quicken and increase the consciousness of the Spirit of God within each of us. This way of praying, this selfless approach to prayer, brings forth those good and very good demonstrations in our lives. To realize the substance of God as us, which is our real supply, we must contemplate the fact that all the elements out of which the visible universe is formed, which includes our body, fills the very spaces within us, beneath us, above us, and around us. We must realize that the will and purpose of God is in the knowledge that this spirit, this source, this substance shall feed, enrich, and supply us so that our very need is fulfilled, even to overflowing. This is the living bread, the manna, which comes from heaven, of which a man may eat and not hunger again. When our consciousness is purified of all arrogance and error and ignorance regarding the presence and power of God, then we are in a position to receive that which is designed in the purpose of God to give us. It is the Father's pleasure to give us his kingdom. And so it is, my friends, that we are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. As we conclude this lesson this morning, I echo the words of Joel Goldsmith when he talked about prayer. No matter what we are doing, no matter what work we are about at the moment, it is a simple matter occasionally to close our eyes. And it only has to be a blink of an eye at that, as a recognition of God as the source of our good, the only substance, the only cause, the only reality. It only takes a second, a blink of an eye. That's it, to have a realization of that type. My Father, I am. 1 second. So it does, and so it is. Shall we make this lesson practical today and into the future? Will you join me now in our closing meditation? And let this lesson into your consciousness. Please, be still. Become relaxed in your seat. Take a gentle breath of the eternal life of the loving Spirit. the spiritual source within. That source that has known you before you were. Before the beginning of time. Be still and know. Be still. Dear God, you are my maker. You are my being. You are my truth, my joy, my happiness, my life eternal, and all that you are, I am. Regardless of appearances out here in the world of material, born of the limited mind, all is perfect in your eternal kingdom. And as your grateful child, it is that kingdom in which I seek to reside in always. Father, how glorious it is to live in the realization that you move me and have my eternal being. That the Christ of me is your only begotten Son. And as I increase my practice of your loving presence, that Christ light of me increases in its glorious intensity. Your omnipresence, your spirit dwells within me and surrounds me even during those times when I know not. In you, my loving God, I am never alone. I am never incomplete and never lacking, because as your beloved child, I humbly claim all that you are. And so it is, dear Father, that for the awareness of your loving presence that is here and now, in all of its glory, in all of its power, O most wonderful and loving God, O most glorious Father, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses thee and keeps thee. The Lord shines his love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives thee his peace. Amen.